Okay, good evening. The parsha is the parsha Bo, and the format is a little different because last night I went to a wedding, which I was very happy to go, but they scheduled the wedding the same time as the shiur. So the shiur is only broadcast on the internet, and I hope that those of you who are used to it, are used to getting it, will find this okay. Only Tzvi Tafet is here with me, but the others have not yet. We will resume next week.
Rabbi Sachs.
Wednesday night. What?
Rabbi Sachs is here.
Rabbi Sachs is where?
He's watching.
Oh, he's watching. Rabbi Sachs is watching. Okay, great. The Parsha Bo is the Parsha of the Makot. It starts with Arbeh. And every one of the makot has been discussed at length in a variety of ways. What I'd like to do is point out to you that only the half of the story of the makot in Mitzrayim is actually told in the Chumash. What do I mean? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to complain that he was not being successful. Every time he brought the Makkah down on Mitzrayim, starting from Arbeh in this parasha, but even before in the parasha of Va'era, every time the Makkah was mentioned, he went to Paro and he said, let them out. The Paro answered whatever he answered, but when the Makkah was removed from Mitzrayim, Paro changed his mind. He refused. He refused so that in some strange way, the Makot in Mitzrayim, which were brought upon Mitzrayim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Makot in Mitzrayim somehow were not effective. The Mitzrim were not impressed. How is that possible? But the real question I want to ask, which is not part of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, is, okay, the Torah says that God hardened the heart of Paro, as though God takes responsibility for the fact that Paro is not paying attention to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Makot. But my question always was, what did Paro say to himself? I mean, what was it that gave Paro the strength of purpose and of mind to be able to say, no, I'm not worried about the Makkah. This is the end. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be able to do anything worse. And it just gets worse and worse and worse until Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim and get to Yam Suf, where they are, Bnei Yisrael are allowed to pass through the waters, and the Egyptians are all killed in some way. So from the point of view of the Egyptians, I was telling a story about the Egyptians. How was it that they were so willing to follow Paro in this madness, actually, the madness of being able to accept the Makkah, accept whatever happened, including Makkat Bechorot, which seems to be quite remarkable, okay, we got through it this far. We'll continue. We like to have slaves, and we like to have Jews who are slaves. What was it that Paro was saying to himself? He didn't say that I'm not going to let them out because God hardened my heart. He must have said something to himself which he felt was reasonable. So I'd like to mention two things that he probably thought were reasonable. Well, first is the matter of Chartumim. The matter of Chartumim. Excuse me. The first is the matter of Chartumim. You know that there were these magicians that Paro had, and for some reason, the first Makkah, or the first, maybe more than the first Makkah, but let's say the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did in Mitzrayim was to throw down the staff, and the staff turned into a snake. Then he picked up the tail of the snake, and it turned back into a staff. And this was apparently an impressive feat that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing, instigated by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was a Kodesh Baruch Hu's miracle. Then, lo and behold, along came the Chartumim, and they did the same thing. They did the same thing. So, like, what did that mean to Paro? What did Paro learn from this? Well, he said that it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu is also one of the Chartumim. He's also a person who has this kind of power, but there are other people like him. What happened when the Makkah, when Moshe Rabbeinu was not, when the Chartumim were not able to reproduce the Makkah? So what did Paro say then? Paro said, okay, my Chartumim can't do it, but there must be other Chartumim, someplace in the world. You remember when Balak had a problem and he wanted one of the Chartumim, whose name was Bilam, to work on his behalf, he had to go and find him and hire him. That might have been the situation in the ancient world, that people, or that the kings who wanted the fancier level of Chartumim would have to go and hire them and find them. So Paro might have said to himself, look, my Chartumim, the ones that were in-house, so to speak, they can't do it. But there's somebody else, there's somebody someplace in the world who can do it. And so Paro was able to fortify himself with the thought that that's like a sort of a strange, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this thought to enter the mind of Paro? It's almost like saying Paro was a living witness to the fact that God is not able and not willing to show his power and his strength. That's the first thing that you have to understand, and that's the role of the Chartumim as far as the Egyptians were concerned in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and that they were an argument, they produced an argument that enabled Paro to say to himself, this is probably the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do. It's the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that my Chartumim can't do it, because there are other Chartumim probably in the world who can do it. So the first answer to the question that we asked was, what was Paro thinking? How did Paro convince himself? So the first answer has to do with the notion of Chartumim, and whether the Chartumim are ultimate, there are no others, or you say quite the opposite. There are others, and you know, maybe they would be able to do it, and therefore my interest, Paro would say, is to get Moshe Rabbeinu to cut it out, to stop it. But that's not going to get me to change my mind about the Chartumim. The second answer that I want to suggest, that I want to mention to you, is found in the Ramban. You know that the Ramban at the end of the Parsha of Bo, quite at length, discusses attaching the notion of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the notion of Yitziat Mitzrayim, to doing mitzvot. Many mitzvot in the Torah are called are introduced or followed up by the notion of Zecher LiYitziat Mitzrayim. Even Shabbat, Friday night when we say Kiddush, we say Zecher LiYitziat Mitzrayim, which has nothing to do, as far as I know, has nothing to do with Shabbat. We also say in Kiddush Zecher LeMaaseh Bereishit. Zecher LeMaaseh Bereishit. Okay, what is that? That's about Shabbat. But in what way does Shabbos connect to Yitziat Mitzrayim? So the answer is, first I'll give you an answer, I'll say it a certain way, but we'll see how the Ramban says it. Zecher LiYitziat Mitzrayim is a time when we became aware of God's power. God's power. God's power in the Chumash is called Chozek Yad, a strong arm. And a strong arm, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, all the miracles and all the nisim, and were God's strong arm? I mean, what's there to say? There's no other way to understand it. But you know that in the beginning of the parasha of Vayera, at the end of the parasha of Shemot, Moshe Rabbeinu complains. Right? Rabbeinu complains. What happened was in Perek Vav, Pasuk Tet, it says, "Vayedaber Moshe Kenel b'nei Yisrael b'lo shamu Moshe mikotzer ruach me'avodah kasha." They didn't listen. Right? They weren't able, they weren't in a listening mood. And this happens after the end of the parasha of Shemot. The end of the parasha of Shemot, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayashov Moshe l'Hashem v'yomar, Adonai lama hariyot lama zeh, lama zeh shalachtani? Why did you send me?" This was after Paro increased the labor that they were doing to make bricks to build houses, buildings. Lama hariyot lama zeh shalachtani? Furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Me'az bati el paro ledaber b'shmecha, since I came to Paro to speak in your name, heirala amaze, things get worse and worse. V'atzelo itzalte et amecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu would say, What am I doing? I know that, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu had doubt about whether Kodesh Baruch Hu should or could or might carry out his promise to free the Jews. That's pshita. That's pshita would do that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do. Why was it that along the way there had to be this start and stop and change and Paro agreeing and disagreeing? Well, I mean, what's that got to do with freeing the Jews? Get them out of Mitzrayim on the way to Har Sinai. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. So God responds, Atah tireh asher aseh leParo. Now you will see. Ki biyad chazaka yishalchem, yad chazaka yigashem me'artzo. Yad chazaka. I'm now going to apply yad chazaka. Before it was not yad chazaka. Now it is going to be yad chazaka. What does that mean? If God does a miracle, that's yad chazaka. What was it that God is going to do now that he didn't do before? It's hard to understand. Yad chazaka yishalchem. So I think that Yad Chazakah means an incontrovertible miracle. You know, to say, this is it. No one could deny that this is God's enterprise, that God is freeing the Jews from their slavery in Mitzrayim. So if that's true, you might be able to say that there is also a miracle that's not yet chazaka, like the Slav. The Jews wanted meat. Along came the birds flying in the air, and they all sort of dropped dead right on the Jewish community, and they ate meat. So that's not yet chazaka. You could say, for God, that's a big deal. That's nothing. Or water coming out of a rock. It's not called yet chazaka. That's just something that obviously God can do. So I think that Yad Chazakah means a miracle that cannot be, where you can't deny the uniqueness of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made that miracle. So I want to show you how the Ramban says that. I just have to find it here. The Ramban at the end of the parasha of Bo is starts talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, what it means, how to understand it, and then it's a worthy enterprise, this Ramban. If you have a chance, you should look at it. The Ramban, towards the end, or the end of his long statement about tefillin, he starts with the word v'ata, and now, omar lecha klal b'tam mitzvot rabot. I want to explain something to you, the meaning or the understanding of many mitzvot, like What are we supposed to get out of them? What comes to us? Hinei me'et hayot avodah zarah ba'olam. He starts off by saying, remember, from the beginning of avodah zarah, of idolatry in the world, mi'imei enosh, it started in the time of enosh, as what Chazal say, which is very close to the creation of the world. It's like sort of the same time that the world was created. People started being confused about principles of faith. He says some of them are called denials. They are the deniers of the basic principle. And they say that the world always existed. It was never created. Never created. Kichashu Bashem, they denied God. V'yomru lohu, God didn't create anything. U'mihem machishim b'yidiyato apratit, and they deny that God knows about things that are happening. V'amru, right? V'amru, and they say, Ika yada el. The Yesh Dea Be'elyon. He says, Eicha, who says that that God knows what's going on and that the Elyon knows about the world? Umehem sheyod'u bi'idi'ah. Some people say that God knows about the world, but makhishim b'ashkacha, but they say that God doesn't really control things and is not really interested in what's going on. V'yasu Adam kedege hayam, and they compared people, men, women, to fish in the sea. Shelo yashkiach el behem, which God, and God is not concerned about them, doesn't treat them with sachar ve'onish, reward and punishment. Ve'ein imahem onish o sachar, and like the fish, so too people don't live in a world where there is Sachar and Onish. So the Ramban is talking about the world, how it really is in the world. Yomru azav Hashem et haaretz, and they say, if God was there once, God is no longer in. I remember there was a Time magazine article once about God leaving the world. Did God leave the world? Something like that. Kasher yirtzeh alekim be'eda, o biyachid, and when O Yiratzeh Alukim Be'ida, O Biyachid, V'yasei Behem Ofet, D'Shinui Min Hagosh El Olam V'Tivo. And when God does something and changes the nature, the natural way of things, Min Hagosh El Olam V'Tivo, the regularity, the naturalness in the world, Yitbarer Lakol. So that's the response. God is responding to the ideas that people have about, you know, all these crazy ideas, according to the Ramban, that people developed at the time of Enosh. Because the great miracle, Morah, that could only be if God was in charge. I mean, otherwise, how could he change nature? How would God change nature? It's because he made nature. So he's able to change the nature of things. And so that's what he says. Yesh lo olam eloha mechadsho v'yodea u'mashkiach v'yachol. So it seems that the miracles, that God, some of the miracles that God does in the course of history come to correct this impossible idea that God has no control over things and is not concerned about them. Kasher yeh ha-mofet ahu nigzar tchila mipi na-yedavi, and in the case that the miracle is predicted by somebody who has prophetic power, Yitbarer mimenu od amitut anivuah. And that increases my belief in prophecy. Ki yedaber elokim et ha'adam, God speaks to man, v'yigaleh sodo el avodav, and his secrets he gives over to his servants, ha'neviim, the prophets, kitkayem im ze ha'torah kula. And therefore we know that the Torah is true, because prophecy is true. How do we know the prophecy is true? Because the prophet has managed to tell us. So what's going to happen? What will happen? V'lachein, or the Ramban continues, Yomar katub v'oftim, leman teida, the psukim that say, you should know, ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, I am God within the land, the world, right? Lehorot al hashgacha, that teaches us that God is cares about the world and what happens and is concerned. Ki lo azav ota lemikrim kidata. And the world was not just left to kind of idly go along, but that God is involved. The Amar, another pasuk, leman teidaki l'Hashem haaretz lo rota lechidush, that the world is God's, meaning that God created the world. Ki hem shelo shebera'a me'ayin, they are, the world is His. He created it from ayin, from nothing, nothing into something. V'amar bavur teida, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz lo rod. And that pasuk comes to teach us, ala yicholet, shehu shalit b'kol, ein ma'akev b'yado. There's nothing that prevents him from doing whatever he wills. Ki b'chol zeh, hayu ha'mitzriyim makhishim. In all of these things, the Egyptians were denied, O Mistapkim, or they had doubts. Im kena odota moftim agdolim, edim nemanim, the odot and the moftim, you see the language in the Ramban, the miracles and that God made, gdolim, they're big ones. Edim nemanim bemunata borei uvatora kula. So there you have it. There you have it. I think The Ramban is saying that miracles have two purposes. They, on the one hand, the miracles are supposed to accomplish something. Something's supposed to happen. On the other hand, when there's a miracle that is going to change history and that changes the relationship between the people involved in the miracle, right? Up becomes down and down becomes up, then that miracle has more than one simple function. So when the Jews were about to leave Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this study hall for the Egyptians, where they have the opportunity to relieve themselves of very strange ideas that grew up in the world that God created. And those strange ideas have to do with Hashgacha, and Sachar Va'onesh, and creation itself, did God create the world or not? And so, the miracles in Yetziat Mitzrayim had what, one on one hand, would eventually lead to Paro Mitzrayim allowing Am Yisrael to leave. But there was another job that these miracles undertook, and that was to kind of enlighten the Egyptians, to make it possible for them to say, to understand that what they did because of God's will. And it wasn't that they wanted to have slaves, but it was that God wanted to enslave them. So you see that what we say in Kiddush on Friday night is correct. How do we know about Shabbos? If the Shabbos was created before we were of understanding of things, we have no witness to the creation of the world. It's true we were created in the world, but we have nothing to say about the creation except what's written in the Torah. But when it comes to Yetziat Mitzrayim, we were there. We were there, we saw the miracles, we heard the miracles, and therefore it makes sense for us to say every Friday night, that the Masa Bereshit, that the creation of the world, the creation of Shabbat, is something that we understood fully at the time of Yitziat, at the Yitziat Mitzrayim, because miracles, or the miracle of creation, could only be understood for us if there is a Yitziat Mitzrayim. But if there were not the Yitziat Mitzrayim, we wouldn't understand it. The Egyptians had the opportunity, apparently, to do tshuva, and they didn't take it. And so we understand, perhaps another way of looking at that famous question in Chazal, like why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael and not offer it to all the nations of the world? Okay, the Medrash says the nation of the world rejected it for some reason or other. Each one had a reason. But what we actually are saying is that the Egyptians, representing the nations of the world, had an opportunity to see things correctly. And see things correctly is the place of God in the created world. But they rejected that. And that means that all the nations of the world rejected that, because no one came to help the Jews. No one came to help them leave Mitzrayim. But it was all the Yad HaChazakah. It was like the great miracles, including Makat Bechorot, the firstborn, and Kriyat Yam Suf, the splitting of the Red Sea. That was the end of that attempt. So it turned out that only Am Yisrael, only the Jewish people, were willing to accept the authority and direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which enabled them to accept the Torah. And because of the rejectionist position of the Egyptians, they were not included in the opportunity to receive the Torah. Okay, I'll see you next week in Yitzhak Hashem. And the shiur will be given in the regular time, in the regular place. I assume I won't have to go to a wedding by then. All the best.